Today's Shi'ez Masechta Erech and Davov. We will begin on top of Davov Amun Aleph. At the end of the previous Shi'ez, the Gemara mentioned briefly, and this will be a very important part of today's Shi'ez, the concept of accepting donations from an Akum. The Gemara mentioned that the Pasuk says, Lo Lachem V'Lonu, Liv Nois Beis Elokeinu. The Gemara explained why shouldn't we accept gifts from the Akum? Because we're concerned Rifin Yadayim. If we rely on them, and then they don't come through with the pledge, then the Beis Hamikdash may not get built. So begins the Gemara with the following two brises. Tanach Hadad, there's one brise that says, "Avik Chacham Shitz Nadiv Nedova." If Akum makes a donation, Lebedek Abayis Mekablamen, we accept it. But Tanya Idach, and the other brise says, "Ein Mekablam." So we obviously have a contradiction of brises. And Taisus right away asked the question that why don't we ask a better question? We learned at the end of the Mishnah yesterday that even though we had a machlokes of Ramei and Rabbi Yehuda, if regarding Goyim and Erechin, everybody agrees we accept donations from an Akum. So why don't we have a steer between the Brice and the Mishnah? So Taisus answers, because the Mishnah is speaking about Kotche Mizbeach. And that everybody agrees we accept from Akum. These brises are speaking about Bedek Abayis. Bedek Abayis and Mizbeach have different rules, and we can't bring a raya or a question from one to the other. But then the Rishonim go on to ask, perhaps this machloikis of brises actually represents the machloikis of Ramei and Rabbi Yehuda. Because if we recall, in yesterday's shir, the Gemara, the Mishnah, the Brice, the Gemara, quoted the machloikis of Ramei and Rabbi Yehuda regarding Erechin and Agoy. Ramei's opinion is that the goy could be the object of an erech, but not the one making an erech. Yehuda held just the opposite. So maybe this brises represent that machloikus. So the Rishonim essentially say the same teretz. One teretz that they give is that these brises aren't speaking about erechin. Erechin and bedek abayis are not one and the same. And furthermore, according to a mayor whose opinion is that a goy can't make an erech, it's the words loy mekabel mimenu. What does loy mekabel mimenu mean? That we shouldn't take it, but it does imply that if they did it, it has some validity. Whereas in Ramea's opinion yesterday, what he does is totally irrelevant. It has no halachic standing. So to say the brice that says here a mekablem represents Ramea's opinion really doesn't work, because Ramea holds it has no meaning. A mekablem implies it's workable, it's effective, but we shouldn't do it. So how do we reconcile these two brises? Amrab Elo Amrab Yechon Lakasha. Habit Chilai B'Saif. Number Pshatim and Rishonim, how to learn Habit Chilai B'Saif. Rashi, most Rishonim learn. Betchila means when we're about to start building. When you start building, we're concerned that if you're going to take from the Akum and you're going to rely on him, you may end up not getting the Beit Hamikdash built. Once it's already built and it's standing, there's less of a concern. Rashi gives a different pshat, which he himself is not so satisfied with. He says that there's a difference if the Akum have dominance over us, or we have dominance over the Akum. In a time when we have dominance over the Akum, so we're in position to say to the Akum, we don't want a gift from you. When they are dominant over us, so in Halacha there's always a concept of Eva, and here, if they want to donate, we're not in a position to refuse. Another pshat that the Rambam seems to learn, habetchila means l'chatchila, don't accept. B'soif means b'diavad, you can accept. Damrav Asi, Amrav Yoichret, b'tchila. And again, where we're with Rashi's preferred pshat, where we're about to build the Beis Hamikdash, afilu mayim u'melech emikam mehem. Don't take anything from them. B'soif, once the Beis Hamikdash is standing, dover hamasuyim, something that's specific. A mekablim, don't take. Dovish ain mesuyim, but if it's not a specific item, it's just cash or mayim umelech, mekablim. And ask the Gemara immediately, heichi domi dovah mesuyim, what is an example of dovah mesuyim? Amar Rabbi Yosef, kigoyim amakal yo'irif. In the Beis Hamikdash Sheni, which didn't have the same level of kedusha as the first Beis Hamikdash, there was a problem of birds resting on the roof of the Beis Hamikdash. So they used to put metal plates, and the reason the Gemara says an amma, because the halach is if somebody donates metal to the Beis HaMikdash, it has to be at least an amma. And they used to put nails on that metal, and that would keep the birds away. There are other pshatim in amma kalya. One pshat is that the Beis HaMikdash came to a point, and they put the nails along the top, that point. Another pshat is that amma kalya is a scarecrow to scare away the birds. That's a dovar mesuyim. So the Rishonim, and this is a very important discussion, try to understand how do we halachically define a dovar mesuyim. So one explanation the Rishonim give is that if it's something that's usable itself in the Beis HaMikdash, that is a dovar mesuyim. If it's something that has no use in the Beis HaMikdash, the best example is the example the Gemara gave. Mayim HaMelech, you don't need water and salt to build. So what are you going to do with the water and salt? Trade it in for material. That is not a davar mesuyim. So according to that opinion, you can't take a beam from an akum. But many other Rishonim say, and they say that the Gemara seems to be going in that direction, it has to be something very noticeable. Amakalius, everybody sees that on top of Beis HaMikdash you have these plates. If you're building a Beis HaMikdash and you need beams, that isn't something that's noticeable. It probably has to do with why is there a halacha of a davar mesuyim. If the vart is, it's a gnai, it's not nice that we have to rely on the akum, so then it has to be something more noticeable. If, however, the vart is that we don't want to show reliance on akum, so then a beam would have the same halacha. And this will become more relevant as we get into the shir. Actually, now the Mefarshim say the kasha that we began the shir with today, we have another answer. The Bryce says we started the shir with a stira. One Bryce says we don't take. One Bryce says we do take. We could easily answer the Bryce. The Bryce says we don't take is a davar mesuyim. The Bryce says we do take is a non-davar mesuyim. Must Rav Yosef ask Rav Yosef. The pasuk says, and we're going to talk a little more about this later in the Masechta, actually. What happened when they built the Bayis Begdashani? Actually, it started getting built, and then there was a pause, and then they started building again. And the pasuk says in Nehemiah that Nehemiah sent to the king, to the Persian king, the Geras al-Osef Shomer HaBardes, Ashel HaMelech. He sent him requesting wood beams. They needed wood. So, as the Mefarshim say, every pshat that we've learned in our Gemara is difficult. If the concern is a davar mesuyim, wood beams may be a davar mesuyim. If the concern, as we said a moment ago, is when you're starting to build, don't rely on them, he was just starting to build. So how could he request wood? Amalei Abai, to which Abai responds, Shani Malchus Tloy Hadribai. When is there a halacha? The halacha is when we're asking individuals. But when we're asking the government sticks to their commitment. Damashmu, Iyama Malchusa Kranaturi, if the government makes a commitment that they're going to uproot mountains, Akaturi, you could be sure that they'll figure out a way to uproot the mountains, V'loi Hadabay. But all the Mefarshim ask an obvious question. We quoted at the end of the Shia yesterday that there's another concern. We don't want to rely on Akum because of Rifin Yadayim. So we don't, if there's a concern that we want to start with the proper attitude, and if we get the Akum involved, we have Rifin Yadayim. So how does the fact that the government honor its commitment answer that problem? How is the problem that we discussed in our shir today, that it's a gnai to have the Akum participate, get resolved because the government keep their commitments? So I saw a number of answers to this question. One answer is, those who are familiar with Nach, know that HaKadosh Baruch Hu specifically wanted that the second Beis HaMikdash should be built through Kairish. That was the divine plan. So here, HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted Kairish to participate. One pshat. Another interesting pshat is that there are mefarshim that say, who did Nehemiah request these funds from? From Daryavish. And who was Daryavish? Daryavish was the son of Achashverosh and Esther. So he was Jewish. He had a Jewish mother, Esther. The halacha is we're worried about Akum. He's done an Akum. The Meshech Chachma has a very interesting approach. He says there's a pasuk. The pasuk says, Lev Leiv melachim v'sarim b'yad Hashem. He says a melech is not just another akum. A melech is b'yad Hashem. He's by providence king. So what makes Klal Yisrael special? Because HaKadosh Baruch Hu chose us. HaKadosh Baruch Hu chose the Melech HaKom as well. And therefore, in this regard, he has a din like a Yisrael. Actually, again, to go back to the beginning of our shir, we began the shir with Akasha, two brises contradicting each other. We can answer the stira again. The brises says that we don't take is from a regular Akum. The brises says we do take is from a Melech. Melech, we said, has a different rule. Continues the Gemara. So certainly everybody realizes that a guy doesn't have a chiv of giving truma some maestros. But this guy chose to separate truma. So the halacha is, why did he do it? Because he probably sees us doing it. So the question is, we have to examine him. And we ask him, if he says that he donated it because he wants to do what we do, and when we donate it, we give it for truma to Nasan L'Kayin. So it should be treated like truma and given by to the Kayin. Machloikas Rishonim, if it has a din of truma daraisa. I would have assumed, and that's where many Rishonim learn, it's only truma derabanan, it's from an Akam. There are Rishonim that say it has such a status of truma daraisa. Vimlav, but let's say the Akam doesn't say that. So what must we be concerned? We now need to be concerned that the Akam may be meant to be Magdashit. And if you recall, at the end of Masechet Bechoros, we learned the sugya. The Gemara says, what happens if somebody's Magdish, something is Manazah? We don't have the base of Magdash. So the Gemara says you have to destroy it, bury it, because takala, because you're not allowed to use it. We don't have a base of Magdash. Here too, Tuna Geniza. It's going to have to be buried. Chashina, for we need to be concerned, he may be meant to give it to the base of Magdash, but there is no base of Magdash. Shema Beliboy L'Shamayim. The Mefarshim, the Paiskim actually discuss, we know that in Halacha, Akum has no Nemanis. So how in Al Gemara does the Akum have Nemanis? If he says, I meant to give it for Trumo, he has this Nemanis. And that's why many Mefarshim say that Al Gemara is speaking in a situation that the examination of the Akum is done by Mesich Lefitumai. We don't ask him directly, we ask him indirectly, and that's how we understand what he meant. Ask the Gemara, Meisvei, it says in a brisa, "Oy v'kachom shnasnad of kaira, an akum donated a beam, v'shem kasvala, and the shem Hashem is on that beam." And this Gemara, before we go further, is used for a very important halach l'maisa shayla. We began the shir today discussing donations of an akum to the Beis HaMikdash. We unfortunately don't have a Beis HaMikdash, but we do build shuls. And the question is, are we allowed to take donations from akum to build a shul? This Gemara seems to clearly indicate, as we're going to learn, as long as we know that Akum didn't mean that it should be Hegdish, we could take his beam and use it for the shul. So it seems from this Gemara that a Beis HaKnesses doesn't have the same halacha as a Beis HaMikdash. Even though, if we remember, we had a discussion, is a Kaira, a beam, considered a Dovra Mesuyim? According to the opinions that a Kaira is not a Dovra Mesuyim, we have no raya. But according to the opinions that a kaira is a davar mesuyim, for Beis HaMikdash we can take it, and for Beis HaKnesses we may. And that's how the Chassam Sofer paskens. The Chassam Sofer paskens la'aloch la'maisa, that a donation from an akum is acceptable from an akum. This Tzitz Eliezer has a lengthy tshuva on this subject, quotes of course the Chassam Sofer, but he says that there are paskim that disagree. I think he quotes the Steichemid, discusses this issue, and then some Steichemid quotes Paiskim that say we can't take donations from an Akum. He, interestingly, in the Tzitz Eliezer, makes a very interesting distinction between a Beis HaKnesses in Yerushalayim and a Beis HaKnesses in the rest of the world. He says it's inappropriate that in Yerushalayim Yir HaKadosh there should be a Beis HaKnesses donated by Akum. And then there's one more factor to take into consideration. And that is, if we're going to ask, let's say you have a business associate, an Akum, and you're asking for a donation for the Beis HaKnesses you're building, so he may ask you in return for a donation to his causes, to causes that we may not be allowed to donate. So one should think before he asks from an Akum what is going to have to be the payback. So it says in the Braisa, Oh, the Kacham is not of Kaira. The Akum donated this beam. The Shem Kosvala, there's a Shem Hashem on that beam. Both can say. So again, we do the test. Imam Abdas Yisrael Hafrishtaya, if he says that I meant to do what the Jews do with it, so Yogit, take off the Shem Hashem, Vishtams Bemoisa, and use the beam to build your basic Knesses. Because when we donate a beam Bismanazah, we recognize we're not giving the beam for basic Mikdash. There is no basic Mikdash. We realize we're giving it for a shoe. Them laugh, but if we don't know, we can't get straight from him what he meant, tuna geniza, then we have to put it away. Four, chayshina, we need to be concerned, shem v'libu l'shamayim. Maybe the akum meant to donate it for hegdish. And like we said earlier, there is no hegdish. Now makes the Gemara the point. Tama, it seems that that is only in that unique situation, the shame kosvala, because there was a shame Hashem on this beam, the Bai Gneza. And that's why that shame has to be put away. Hayin shame kosvala. If you had a kair from an akum, would add a shame on Hashem on it, loy Bai Gneza, then even Gneza wouldn't be required. So we're learning that we always need to be concerned. Answer to Mar loy. Who had the nafkav the ancient kosvala? The shame Hashem on that beam is immaterial. And always, if we can't be sure the Akum didn't mean Hegdish, the Loch is Bar Gneza. What the Bryce is teaching us is another din. One din is when we don't know that the Akum might have meant Hegdish, so you have to put it away. And another Loch is, the Afgav the Shem Kosovala, if we know that he didn't mean the Shul, we still have to deal with the Shem Hashem. And how do we deal with the Shem Hashem? Yogid Vishtamish B'Maisar. Take off the Shem Hashem and use the rest of that beam. The Shem Shalom Kaim Alav Kaddish. And Rashi says, Tup Shotem and Shem Kaim Alav Kaddish. Rashi says, the preferred shot is that if you take the Shem Hashem off the beam, so not a beam you don't have to worry about, and just put away the Shem Hashem. Another shot Rashi suggests, but he says he doesn't agree, is that since Shemits aren't written on beams, so a Shem written on a beam has no Kedusha. But he says that's not true. A Shem written anywhere has Kedusha. And this Braisa is teaching us, say the Mefarshim, a tremendous Chiddush. Because if the guy donated the beam and has a Shem Hashem on it, who probably wrote the Shem Hashem? The Akum. From here we see the Kedusha of the Shem Hashem, that a Shem Hashem written by an Akum, we need to be concerned with Kedusha. Certainly all the more so by a Jew. There is an interesting Machloikas Achroinim. Here we say that you have a Shem Hashem on the beam itself. What's the halacha? And actually, somebody in a different shir told me that he has this issue. What is if you have a cup, and you have the Shem Hashem written on the cup? So if, here the Gemara is speaking about the beam, because you have the Shem Hashem, and you're going to touch the Shem Hashem when you touch the beam. Or if you have a cup, and the Shem Hashem is on the handle, so you have a problem that you're going to be covering up the Shem Hashem. But if you have a cup with a handle, and the Shem Hashem is on the cup, and you're only handling the cup by touching the handle, is that a problem? It's machlokes achroinim. But it seems to be very clear that if you have a cup without a handle, and you just hold the cup itself, you have a real issue if it has a Shem Hashem. And somebody mentioned to me there's some bechers nowadays that are made with psukim on them. With the Shem Hashem. It's a real issue. How could you put your hands on that cup? How could you put your hands on that becher? Interesting, this issue of the Kedusha Shem Hashem, there's so many interesting tshuvas about this issue. The Shari Tshuva in the Shulchan Aruch already says, and you see this in many shuls, that they used to have a plaque by the Amid. It used to be called the Shvisi plaque. And they have in it the word, the Pasuk Shvisi Hashem on Nagdi Samid, Lam Natseach, in the form of a menorah. He says you shouldn't have it. Because usually by the Amid you also have candles and oil. And they splatter on that plaque. And we have to worry about the Kedusha of the Shem Hashem. Actually, nowadays it's less of a problem because most of these are laminated. But when they didn't have laminated, the Shari Tshuva says you shouldn't have it. When the Miches Yitzchak has a tshuva about Pushkas. A lot of times on Pushkas, they have psukim. Says you have to be very careful with that. Ramosha has a tshuva It's a very interesting tshuva. He says there was somebody who wanted to do some advertising. So he gave out benchers. On one side of the piece of paper was Birchas HaMazon, and the other side was the advertising. He said, it's Asr. That's the Shem Hashem. And we see here that the Shem Hashem you can't have on a beam. And Rav Moshe goes on, interesting, it's not type of terminology we find in Rav Moshe Tshuvas. He says, people, for some reason, he says, think I have a lenient approach to this issue. He says, you should be aware that I take this issue very seriously. And he says that when I married off my children and I sent out wedding invitations, I was careful not to have any psukim. You know, many times an invitation says, Yishama B'yari Yehuda, Chasas V'Kasim, all sorts of psukim. I was careful that there should be no pasuk on any invitation I ever sent out, because invitations are typically discarded. And we're learning here about the Kedusha of the Shem Hashem. Rav Moshe has another tshuva. Apparently, there were people that used to wear a necklace that looks like a hand and has on it a Shem Hashem. And he says in the tshuva they call it the hand of God. He says, certainly you're not allowed to wear such a necklace. And he says, one is not allowed to be in the, not allowed to sell or manufacture such a necklace. And he goes on to say that besides the issue of Kedusha Shem Hashem, which we're discussing in our Gemara, there may be an issue of Loisas L'cha Pesel on making such a necklace as well. Continues the Gemara. The Tanan, if the Shem Hashem is on a handle, v'akari amito on the legs of a bed, hareza yogad v'yignoiz, because of the Kedusha of the Shem Hashem. We begin now a new sugya. Amrav Nachman, Amrav Avuah, ha'omer. If somebody says, sell zul tzedaka. Somebody, in this question, to bring it to our world. Let's say you have a pushka at home. And you put money into your pushka. And then, you need a quarter. And you don't have a quarter in your pocket. So the question is, this is the way Rashi learns the Gemara. This is the way we're going to learn the Gemara. The question is, can you take the quarter out of the pushka? You'll give it back, of course. So says the Gemara, mutal shnaisai. You could take it and use it. There is another pshat. There are two other pshatim in the Rishonim. One other pshat is, does the coin itself get a kedusha? And the Gemara is teaching us that the kedusha is not in the coin, the kedusha is in the value. And the other pshat, which we'll talk about a little later, Tosfos speaks about, is mutal shnaisai. If you put away money for tzedakah for a certain cause, at what point may you change the cause that you're giving it to, and at what point may you not? But we'll discuss that pshat later. So we're going to learn with Rashi's pshat. Ha'im esel zul tzedakah, mutal shnaisa. You could use it for your own purpose, and you'll pay back. Savmanel. So they assumed in the yeshiva, what did he mean? La'atzmei in la'achaloi. That if I need that quarter, I could take it out. Someone else may not. Why not? It's the way Rashi explains, because when I put money into the pushka, it's with the understanding that if I'll need that money, I could use it and pay back. But it wasn't under the understanding that someone else could use it. It only was that I may use it. That's the way Rashi explains. Other Rishonim explain as follows. If I take the money, so I'm going to be careful to put it back. But if somebody else takes the money, we have to be concerned. Maybe he won't put it back. And that's why the halacha should be that it shouldn't be mutter. However, says the Gemara, Itma Amr of Ami Amr of Yoichanan, Bein La'atzmai, Bein La'achar. It makes no difference. Anyone can use the money. Furthermore, says the Gemara, and we've learned in our shiur many times, there are two ways to declare an obligation. Harei Olai or Harei Zu. What's the difference? Harei Olai, I have a chrayis. So if I make a donation, and for whatever reason what I designated gets lost, I have to replace it. Harei Zu, I don't. Loishana da omar alai. Aval hamerezu. But if I said harezu, bar lemeisva. Since I designated this specific coin, I can't replace it. Said the Gemara, maskula rava adarava. We could make an argument the other way around. Ipchem stabra. Omzu, if I said zu, and I didn't touch it, what would be the halacha? That if that coin got lost, I need not replace it. But if I said zu, and then something happened to the coin, I do have to replace it. So if anything, when I said harei zu, the halacha wants me to take it. Because until now I wasn't responsible, and now I will be responsible. Adirabba, ipcha mistabra, omr zu, mishtamishba, kehecha, telchai bechriusa, because now I'll become responsible. Aval, omalai, where I'm responsible anyway, maybe I shouldn't be allowed to take it. Actually, the Pesukim can have a very interesting discussion based on this Gemara. As I said a moment ago, and we're very familiar with this, in obligating oneself in a nether, there's a difference between Harei Zu and Harei Alai. The question is there such a distinction by Tzedakah as well? Which means, let's say I donate to a certain cause, and I give the money, let's say it wasn't a check or a credit card, it was cash. And I ask somebody to give the actual cash. I give it to somebody who's collecting on behalf of that fund, to give it to the yeshiva, to give it to the cause. And before it gets to that institution, he loses the money. Am I held responsible if I said harezu? From this Gemara, it seems that by just like by the Dorm and the Dovis, there's a distinction between harezu and harelai. There should be such a distinction by Tzedakah as well. There are Pesukim that say there is no such distinction. And if I obligate myself with a donation to Tzedakah, until it actually arrives to Tzedakah, I remain responsible. Says the Gemara, Tanya Kavasi Derava, it says in a Braisa, Neder Tzedakah Ein Hegdish Tzedakah. A Neder Tzedakah and Hegdish is not Tzedakah. Ask the Gemara, what is Rava saying? What is this Braisa saying? My Kamer, Loi Neder V'lo Hegdish Tzedakah. Neither a Neder nor the Hegdish Tzedakah. This is the way to understand the Braisa. Tzedakah, harei baal ta'achar. The chiv of baal ta'achar, which we learned in Masechta Rosh Hashanah, applies by all nedarim, applies by tzedakah as well. But there's a very big machlokes rishonim. Is the chiv of baal ta'achar by tzedakah, this is a very important issue, the same as by nedarim? The Gemara Masechta Rosh Hashanah paskins, I think it's Daf Yud Zayin, that if you donate a carbon, you have sholosh regalim to make your pledge. What's the halacha by tzedakah? Many rishonim paskin, by tzedakah there is no three regalim. By tzedakah, there's a chiv of the first regal. If you don't pay up by the first regal, you're over baal ta'achar. Other rishonim say, just like by kabbonis, there's baal ta'achar, three regalim, so too by tzedakah. And a third opinion I saw in the rishonim, it makes a difference if there's aniyim. You promise to give tzedakah. So if there are poor people, which unfortunately usually there are, and you don't give it by the first yontif, you're over baal ta'achar. If there aren't poor people readily available, then you have three yom tovim. Ve'enik hegdish, but on the other hand, it's not like hegdish. Dila hegdish, if you magdish an object, osu lishta mushabei, you may not use it. Feel it stalker, when we talk about stalker, tsar lishta mushabei, as we've been learning. Amr av kahana, amrita lishmatz kameh drav zibben adah, amr atan hachimus nisun la. That was your version. And not hachimus nisun la. Amr av nachman, amr av avuah, Amirav, I'm a tzedakah. If somebody says he's giving himself a tzedakah, mutal shnaisai, he could use it for his own, and makes no difference bein laatzmai, whether he's using it for his own purpose, bein lach, whether he's letting someone else use it, bein amar a lie, whether he says a lie, bein amar harezu. Tan rabbanan, so says the braisa, sells a tzedakah. If somebody donated money for tzedakah, the halacha is actually bas liyad gabai. Until it comes to the hand of the gabai, mutal shnaisai. And here Taisa says the pshat that I quoted from him earlier, that you could give it for a different cause until it comes to the hands of a gabai. Once it comes to the hands of the gabai, it's no longer yours to choose what to do with it. And as Rabbi Aaron explains, because once it comes into the hands of the gabai, it is his. It's his decision. It's no longer mine. And actually, again, if we look at the tshuvas of earlier years, the Chassam Sofer discusses this, the Ksav Sofer discusses it. The minig in Klal Yisrael, for hundreds of years, the minig goes back to the times of the Arizal and the Alshach, that in every Jewish home there was a tzedakah pushka for Rameya Balanes. Why Rameya Balanes? So Mefarshim explained, because Rameya Balanes said two reasons I saw. One reason is because Rameya Balanes, Rameya is the mandom that says that we consider Bonim Lamakim. And not only Banim L'makom, because there's a famous dialogue in the Gemara, that the Gemara says that they asked Rabbi Akiva, I think, how, if HaKadosh Baruch Hu, why do we give tzedakah to poor people? Obviously God wants them to be poor. So he answered, if the king had a son that was exiled, wouldn't the king want us to take care of his son? So we are HaKadosh Baruch Hu's sons. The poor people are HaKadosh Baruch Hu's sons. So that's why tzedakah is called the Rameya's Nais. There's another pshat that I've quoted, because Rabbeinu is the mandam that says Chashina L'Miyuta throughout Shas. even the smallest amount. So when does a person donate tzedakah? When he is in trouble, he's not well. But even if the chances are very slim, Ramei says chashin lemuta, it could still be fine. So the question that used to come up in Europe very often was that people had in their homes these pushkas, and they didn't have a lot of money, and then somebody came for a different cause, and they didn't have any more money. So could you take money out of the pushka, Ramei Balanes, and give it for the person who's standing by your door that needs some tzedakah? And many poskim, the Ksav Sofer discusses this, I said the Ksav Sofer says you may not. There's one point that they go, which is not relevant to today's shiur, about the chshivas of tzedakah for ani Eretz Yisrael. But the other point he says is once it's in the pushka, it belongs to that tzedakah. It's like in the hands of the gabbai. And our Gemara says that once it's in the hands of the gabbai, you can't change it anymore. Mishabas liyad gabbai os l'shnoisai. Ask the Gemara, Eini, Rav Yana Yosef Apara. Rav Yana was a gabbai, and he used to use the money and then pay back. Answers the Gemara Shana Rav Yana, the Nichlu L'Aniyim, the Aniyim were very satisfied, the Kama the Mashim Ma'isa Ma'islahu. Rav Yana was the gabbai. So the Aniyim were very satisfied with Rav Yana using the money, borrowing from tzedakah. So why? Because then he'll be able to go to the other people and say that tzedakah fund is depleted and we need more funds. And we learn from this Gemara a tremendous chiddush. And I saw tshuvas from Rav Volzner about this. He says, one would think to collect for tzedakah, you're allowed to use dishonest methods. He said, look at Rabbi Yanai. He wanted to collect tzedakah. So he's not allowed to say there's no money in the fund unless there is indeed no money in the fund. And that's why he has an interesting tshuva there. He says, assuming that people are more amenable to donate to Chanosas Kala than they are to a person who's not well. So let's say you have a person who's not well. So he decides that he's going to tell everybody that he's collecting for Chanosas Kala. He's not allowed to do that. Because we see how honesty is crucial even in the collection of tzedakah. Tarabon. Yisrael shastad a menorah ner l'beis haknesses. A Yisrael was menad of a menorah or a candle l'beis haknesses. You're not allowed to sell it and do. You're not allowed to divert it. Sover abchil bar ab lemeima. Loishna ledvar shus veloishna ledvar mitzvah. You're not allowed to divert it for any purpose. Amalei Rav Ami hacham Rav Yochanan loishna ledvar shus. The only thing you're not allowed to divert it for is for dvar shus. Avol ledvar mitzvah. If you're diverting it for dvar mitzvah, mutal shnoisai. You may divert it. Mida amar Rav Asi amar Rav Yochanan. And the Akum donated a candelabra to the shul. So the halach is, and here again we have a raya that we're allowed to take donations from an Akum for a shul. The halach is, actually, before it's no longer called on his name, you're not allowed to divert it. Once it's no longer called on that name, so now makes the Gemara its point. Lamai. What is this halacha? What is Rav Asi Amar Rabbi Yochanan teaching us? Ilay mil dvar rishus, that we're diverting it to dvar rishus. So my area of the chavim, why are we speaking specifically by an akum? Afil Yisrael, nami, even by Yisrael, we're not allowed to divert it. Ella, dvar mitzvah. From here we see that we're speaking about a dvar mitzvah. And what is the b'risa teaching us? V'tama, by of the chavim, we're not allowed to divert it as long as the shame akum is on it, because who the poi? If the guy discovers that we diverted his donation, he's going to scream. Avo Yisrael, but a Jew who is not going to be upset, Shapi Dami. There's an interesting part in the Beis Yosef. The Beis Yosef says, we know that there are Jews that also scream. The Beis Yosef says it already. So what about if we took a donation from a Jew who we have to be concerned? Says the Beis Yosef, every Jew is good at heart. And even if it screams, you don't have to worry about a scream. If we do it, we did what's right for the institution, it's fine. Says the Gemara. Shazrik Taya, Shazrik, who was an Arab merchant, Indav Shagel Beknishta, donated a menorah to the shul of Rav Yehuda. Shani Rav Chava, so Chava diverted it, Vikvid Rava. And Rava was upset. Ikadami, different version is Shani Rava. Rava was the one diverted it, Vikvid Rava. Rav Chava was upset. Vikad Amri, and a different version, Shanya Chazone, the Pumpadisa, the attendants of the shul in Pumpadisa diverted it, Vikbid Rachav of Ikbid Rava. Man the Shavne, the one that diverted it, then we just learned the Gemara that you're not allowed to divert something that an Akim donates. Shav de Lashchich, he was a traveling person, so he isn't here, so we need not be concerned. Or Man the Ikbid, Sover, he travels, and he may come back. Zimna the Mikriv Asi, and he'll come, and he'll look for his menorah, and it won't be there, Poi, he'll scream. So, to speak about the halacha lemaisa on this Gemara, so the Rishonim, the Meiri already says, that if you're going to divert something donated, you only could do it not on the say-so of the gabbai of the shul, it has to be on the say-so of the whole tzibur. You have to call a meeting of the entire shul. Machloikas Rishonim, if you're allowed to divert it for something of a lower kedusha, or may you only divert it for something of a higher kedusha? And then there's a very interesting tshuva of Tichsam Seifer, which he discusses the following issue. He says there was someone who passed away and had a large library of svarim, and he donated that library to a shul. Obviously, the shul didn't have such a big talmid chachamim; they didn't have such a great need for svarim, but they needed a mikvah. So what they wanted to do, this is back in the times of Chacham Seifer, what they wanted to do was sell that library and use the svarim, the proceeds, to build a mikvah. So first of all, he says it's not clear that a svarim are of lower kedusha than a mikvah. And according to many Rishonim, as we just quoted, you're only allowed to divert it perhaps to a higher kedusha, not to a lower kedusha. That was one issue he raises. But then he says another important point. Even if you'll say that the mikvah is a higher kedusha, or even if we'll paskin that you're allowed to divert it to a lower kedusha, the only time, he says, you're allowed to divert something is if you already have it. He says, what does the Gemara speak about here? Somebody donated a candelabra to the shul. So he says, pshat in the Gemara is that they already had a candelabra. You don't need two chandeliers. So that's why the Gemara says, under the circumstances that we discussed, they can be diverted. But if what was donated you don't have, and even though people are saying we don't need it, you can't say that. And you can't divert something that you already don't have. And therefore, since they didn't have those svarim, they have no right to sell them to get the proceeds for the mikvah. Says the Mishnah. Hagoisis, back to Masecht Erchin. Hagoisis, if somebody we know is a goisis, is on the death throes, v'yotzel horik, or he's being taken to the execution, lo nidar v'lo nerach. He has no value. The Rishonim say, the only person that's considered a yotzel horik for this din is somebody who was sentenced to death by Bezdin. But if he was sentenced to death, even by a Jewish government, it makes no difference. Governments sometimes change their mind. There's always appeal. There's always the last minute. And therefore, they don't have the same din. Rav Chanina ben Akiva ayim nerech. Ben Akavya ayim nerech. Even if he's a geisus, or he's yotzel horik, he's nerech. Meshadama ketzuvim, because it has nothing to do with his value. The value is assigned by the Torah based on age and gender. Rav Yossi Omer, neither umaruch umagdish. However, im hizik, chayif. Says the Gemara. Bishlam a geisus lo neither. That a geisus, we can't say we're going to give his value the labra dimenu. He has no value. He's nebuch a geisus. V'loi nerech, again, the labra hamod of arochuhu. As we've discussed many times in our shir, the Torah tells us in Parashas Erechin that if somebody accepts upon himself an erech pledge and he can't afford what he's supposed to, v'herech oisai koyin, v'hemet v'herech, he has to be taken to the koyin. And this person, obviously, as we discussed the other day, the halach is a goisus is not allowed to be moved. So he can't be taken to the Kayin. Interesting, machloikus Rishonim I saw, machloikus Rambam in Ravid. When the Torah, a healthy person, Baruch Hashem, that we're going to have to evaluate how much could he afford, which is really the subject of the next parak. Does he physically have to be taken to the Kayin? Do we have to go through the physical, having this person stand in front of the Kayin? Or that's the Rambam's opinion. The Ravid's opinion is he doesn't have to physically stand in front of the Kayin. He could send his tax return to the Kayin, and as long as he could potentially stand there, it's good enough. Elo Yotzel Harig, says the Gemara, the person's being taken to this execution, Bishlam Loi Nidr, that you can't say I'm going to give his value. He has no value. He's about to be killed, Nebuch. The Labra Adamahu. Elo Nerech, Amai Loi. Why can't he be the subject of an erech? The Tanya, Menayan Hayotz Laharig. The Brisa says somebody's being taken to execution. And he says, I'm going to donate my erech. Shloim Aklom, Tamaloimer, Kol Cherim Lo Yipada. He's a Cherim, he's going to be killed. Yochel, I would think a foolish Kaidim Nigmadinoi. He hasn't yet been sentenced. Tamaloimer, Mina Adam, Veloi Kol Adam. Continues the Gemara, Ulam Chananya, Ben Akavid Amen Nerech, Benay Shedam of Ketsumiv. And therefore, doesn't make a difference if he's being executed. What's he going to do with the word kol cherim, which seems to say that a person who's going to be cherim means that he's going to be destroyed, going to be killed, has no erech. Answer the Gemara comes to teach us a different thing. We find that a person, the Torah speaks about the following situation. The Torah says, if somebody's shor kills somebody else, not Sharmud. The Pasuk says, Hashar Yisakel, Vagamba all of Yumas. The owner should be killed. Yumas B'day Shemayim. But the Torah says, Vim Koy for Yushas Olof. If he pays the value of the person who was killed, he has a kapara. So since, says Reb Yoichim Ambroika, Lafish Metzina Mumsa B'day Shemayim, Shunoysen Momen, that they could pay, Umiskapalahem, Shunem, as the Pasuk says, Im Koy for Yushas Olof, Yochel after they Adam came. There's somebody did an Aveira that there's a chi misa b'day Adam. So too, you can get off the hook by paying kaifer. Tamalaymer, kol cherim lo yipada. Continues the Braisa. Only elam misas chamurus. Maybe that's only by misas chamurus where the Torah gives you the option of bringing a carbon when you did it b'shoigik. That's where kaifa can't be given. Mises kalos, shenitin shigigos lekapar, where the Torah gives us the option of bringing karmichatos, minayin tamalem kolcherim. So according to him, this pasuk isn't available to teach us that a person who's dying isn't going to give his erech, and the halacha is he does give his erech. Rav Yossi Omer, noider umarech. Rav Yossi says that this person is noider umarech v'mhizik chayiv. The Tanakama, says the Gemara, where did Tanakama disagree? The Tanakama become the loy, says the Gemara, benoidu umarech umagdish, when it comes to making a nether, kulam loy pligi, there is no machloikis that he has the ability to do so. Ki pligi, when is the machloikis? Bemhizik. This person who's executed to death damaged somebody else. Tanakama sama imhizik einachai betashlumim. He's not held responsible. Rav Yosi Sover, em hizik chai b'tishlumim. Ask the Gemara, what is the machloikus all about? B'mai k'milfagi. Om Rav Yosi, b'milva pe goiv min ayoshin k'milfagi. The way that we should explain the Gemara is as follows. If somebody was mazik, and bezdan paskin that he owes the money, there's no shayla, and then before he pays, he dies, there's no question that his estate must pay. Here, he did hezik, and before Bezdin could pass him that he owes the damages, he was executed. And the question is, must his estate pay for those damages? So the first pshat holds that this is a milva peh. There's no shtar. But milva peh, goyvim in a yoshin kamifki. Tanakam is sover, milva peh, ain't a goyvim in a yoshin. Yabriyashi sover, milva peh, goyvim in a yoshin. What is the machloikis all about? That's a very nice explanation. If we learn through Shas, the sugya of milva peh, that even though, that you collect, there are two reasons. One is, because there's a shibut, as soon as I borrow money from you, even if it's not in the shtar, I have a mortgage to you. The other explanation is, shleitin al delas b'fnei lovin. If a milva peh will not be treated with that seriousness, people are never going to want to lend money. So if the vart of milva peh is not shibut, so it makes no difference. If it's a milva peh because I borrowed money, or it's a milva peh because I did damage to you. I owe you the money, and there's a shibud on my estate. If the vartish like tenal delves before they love him, so it's only by a halva. This is not a halva. Rav Amma, Rav has a different interpretation of this makkah like this. The kuba amma milva peh in a government yarshim. A milva peh is a milva peh and doesn't have that strength. But here, why am I obligated the money? Because I was mazik. And where does the chiv of mazik come from? We all learned Parashas Mishpatim. And the question is, if milva ksuva b'toira is considered a milva b'shtar. Tanakam misava milva ksuva b'toira, even though this obligation emanates from a pasuk in the Torah, that doesn't make it into a milva b'shtar. And the estate therefore must not pay it. Yaisi sover, since it emanates from a pasuk in the Torah, kikushuva b'shtar damya, and the estate must pay it.